appreciate you very much. I invite you to read God's Word with me this morning in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. While you're turning here, let me give just a little bit of the setting of what's going on. These are scriptures that we're going to be reading. Of course, Jesus, as he did often in his earthly ministry, he went to people that were sick, that were those that needed help in various ways, and he healed many of them. And this was an occasion that he was doing on this, in the scriptures we're going to be reading about. He was healing a person that was, as they called it, dumb. You know, it used to be a saying that people were deaf and dumb. Now, I think in our modern times, people began to misunderstand what this meant, so they kind of have done away with it in our time. But when a person loses their hearing, then they're hindered in their learning. So, this was a person that was deaf. And it was attributed to an evil spirit of the devil. And so our Lord made this person well, but the religious leaders of that time, the teachers and so on, said he does this by the power of Beelzebub. The word Beelzebub, of course, means the prince of devils. And our Lord said to them, if I do it by the power of Beelzebub, who do your sons do it by? But if I cast out this devil by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. But he said something else. He said, now, a kingdom that is divided cannot stand. If Satan casts out Satan, his kingdom cannot stand. Now, beginning in verse 17 of this 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, but he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. A house divided against a house falls. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. And if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come unto you. When the strong man, armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he shall take from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. Finding none, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to himself and other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. My subject this morning is in the form of a question. Reformed or regeneration? Reformed means to amend or improve by change of form. Regeneration means the quickening of the spirit to be brought from death unto life. So in the world of religion, Christianity is also classified in that by most people. In the world of religion, there comes either reform or regeneration. We see this in the days of Christ as he met with the most religious people that the world has ever known. And certainly, we can see they were not regenerated people. For Jesus said to them, "You are of your father, the devil." They were reformed. They were religious. But not regenerated. Now, I have been burdened down in our recent years by the Spirit of God to preach on this subject. And the reason that God has burdened my heart to preach on this subject is because our society today, and especially our young people, are faced with who is right and who is wrong in their religious activities. The reason also that I am burdened is because I fear that when our churches and when our Sunday schools, our young people and adults have not learned what God teaches in His Word. So what you see a group of people that they come in to move into a location or for some reason they see a need of going to church. They don't know where they should go because they don't know what God says. You remember the scripture Brother Liberty read this morning in Galatians? Paul said, if any other gospel, if anyone preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. He said, though there is no other gospel, but many have perverted the gospel of Christ. And this is the problem. The gospel has been perverted. And people don't know what to look for in a church. Is the true God? gospel and the traditional type Christianity, or the modern concept of what Christianity should be. As we consider this, I'm going to talk about some of the things that go on in so-called churches of today here in just a moment. But in considering whether or not the traditional are the ones that came through the years are right, or is the modern concept right? But in this, we must consider, first of all, Malachi 3:6, where it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." God don't change. Since God does not change, then there is only one acceptable way for a church to have worship, and only one way of salvation. And that must be within the boundaries of God's instructions in His Word. Anything outside of this is false religion, not Christianity, as many claim. The basic philosophy of those that have turned from traditional Christianity is that success for God is measured by the number of people that come to that church. And the extra activities that are provided. Many times it has happened here, and I'm sure it has happened in other churches in this vicinity. People have come and they have seen that we don't have a big youth program. We don't have entertainment and activities in another building besides our church building. And so, no one cares what is being preached. But what can you offer to us in these activities? The more the activities that appeal to the flesh, the more people you'll have, and in their philosophies, success for God. Let me name a few. There are those that their philosophy is, we must evangelize those outside the church. That sounds good. Because you see, the Lord has told us we're to go out and witness. We're to preach the gospel to every creature. But this is not what they mean. When they say evangelize those outside the church, they mean, in most cases, people that want God in their lives without change of lifestyle. That can't happen. It has to be reformation, not regeneration. Then another, they claim that they are seeker sensitive. Meaning, we want to meet the needs of those seeking God without restrictions of traditional churches, such as scriptural baptism and obligation as church members. Then another is the philosophy that God accepts you as you are? Or are they saying, come as you are? Now, sometimes we would think that this means, that you don't have to wear a suit. You can come in blue jeans. But that's not what you're talking about. It means we will accept you, whatever you do, without judgment. Here's another one. Philosophy is church as it was meant to be. Because you matter to God and to us. Meaning that the way that man wants the church to be and the way he wants God to be. So they can feel comfortable. None of these that I have given to you, and there are many more, brings about what God's Word says must happen in regeneration. When God saves a person by His grace, there must be a change. But this that I have given to you only brings reform. It is not hard to understand from God's Word that to be saved by God's grace means to be changed. Satan to the ways of God. You cannot hold on to both of them. The Lord is ever in open combat against Satan. He told Satan in the Garden of Eden, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now what God said is that I have made you, Satan, enemies to humans. This saying has been fulfilled. Because the seed of the woman is Jesus Christ. Jesus has never tolerated any truce or any compromise with the evil one. When he strikes a blow at Satan, he means to destroy. To destroy his works. As it tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. There is an eternal hatred between Christ and the sin that Satan caused among our first parents. No compromise can be thought of by God. The Lord will never turn from His purpose to bruise the head of Satan. Do it under His feet. And at the last day, to cast Him into the flame of fire. Forever. It is absurd to think that Christianity can compromise for the world. Be successful for God. For old things must pass away. And all must become new. You cannot bring the new compromise. You cannot proclaim regeneration without change of attitude. Amen. No compromise can be thought of. The Lord will never turn from His purpose to bruise the head of serpent. And we, as God's people, can never turn and compromise from the true gospel, from true repentance. Reform will not get you anything with God. Only regeneration. Now, to show you this, I want to first look at man in his natural state. Why is it that there has to be a change? See, man's heart was in the beginning intended to be the throne of God. God was to rule. But through sin, it has become the palace of Satan. Ephesians 2:2, it says, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." This is where humanity has come to. This is the spirit that is talked about in our text, which is referred to as the strong man. He is so strong that we cannot break away as human beings and do not even desire to break away. If all humanity should band together, Satan would laugh at their weakness. If you are a child of God, boast not. Or if you had not had the one that is stronger to fight for you, Satan would have your soul now. We see then that the battle's realm between God and Satan is man. Satan is a strong man. He has dwelt in the heart of all the descendants of Adam until Christ, the stronger one, has cast him out. Notice that our text says, in reference to Satan, that he is armed. He guards that belongs to him. His weapon is a lie. His armor is evil education, a hard heart, and a seared conscience. With these, he keeps man under his power with no desire to be free. He watches and keeps his palace, our text says. Man is his palace. He watches over those that he dwells in and has power over. You remember the parable that Jesus gave when the gospel is preached, when the sower goes out and sows seed. Some fall by the wayside, the fowls pick it up immediately. And he explains that. He explains it's the Word of God, and Satan takes it away. He guards his palace. You may find sleeping saints, like Peter, James, and John. Folks, you'll never find a sleeping devil. Satan rests not day nor night. When he is in your heart, he makes sure no gospel comes to your understanding. He plucks it up. Then he watches because that person or those goods are his. He not only claims possession of humans, but he claims sovereignty over them. A palace is a place of a king. Satan is the king of his domain, which is the human heart. And that heart is his servant. When he says go, it goes. When he says do, it does. In this condition, his goods are in peace. Do you realize that a person that has never been born by the Spirit of God is in peace with sin, Satan? No bother at all. Satan watches over. He keeps peace. Lost man is not disturbed. He says in his heart, that I should obey him. The unclean spirit is the tenant of the heart. So Satan lies to the heart and says, peace. So man sees no need for God. This is his condition. Next, I want to show you what reform is. Jesus brought this out in our text. It says, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man. Now, this unclean spirit was not turned out, nor was he driven out. He just goes out. The house is still his. For he says, I will return to my house. For this short period of time, while the unclean spirit has gone out of the man, this person still belongs to Satan. But the evil spirit is gone, and this man tries to reform. Though he tries to reform, he is still under Satan's power. For you see, there was no repentance. There was no change of heart. No conviction of sin. No looking to a Savior and feeling a need to be saved. If someone should talk to him about his condition as a lost sinner, his judgment before God, he would be offended. He doesn't understand his need of being changed. does this evil spirit go out? Probably because he feels safe. He's not losing anything. Because he knows that this person is still under the power of Satan, and he knows he can return at any time. Now, when the spirit does return, what does he find? No locked door. No mark of Christ. The blood of the Lamb. No regeneration of the Spirit. It's only been cleaned up a little bit. The house, it says, is swept. Now, you ladies, you do most of the sweeping probably. You know what it means to sweep a house. It means the loose dirt is gone. It means that you've gone through the rooms and you've removed the loose dirt. And so, in this man, been swept a little bit, but the sin nature is still there. For only the blood of a lamb can clean the inside. It also says the house was garnished. What does that mean? It's rearranged. You come in, your wife done changed everything around. My brother one time nailed a man to the wall. So I couldn't be moved. It's been rearranged. There is no real faith there. But maybe a picture of Christ has been hung on the wall. No love for the Christ church. That he died for. But he has his name probably on the little book. No evidence of the Spirit. No new creature. No hatred of sin. Just reform. Now, what is true regeneration? In verse 22 of the text I read, but when the stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome, he taketh from him, from his, all his armor, wherein he trusted and divided his followers. When Christ comes in, he destroys the power of Satan. And he creates into a person a new heart. For he is now a new creature, a new creation. Old things pass away. Sins have been put aside. A new life, a new attitude, a new way of seeing what God. He no longer loves sin. But he he loves the things of God.
When he does sin,
and John said, if a man say he has no sin, he's a liar and the truth's not in him. If he does sin, he hates himself for the weakness of the flesh.
Oh, I wish I had not done this.
Because now I have offended my God who loves me. He desires to be in the house of God to worship. He wants the fellowship of God's people instead of those of the world.
He's not satisfied with singing the songs of the world and the activities of the world.
He is not satisfied with the message. Preach that God loves you and you don't have to give up any of your sins. That's insulting to God's people.
Now he wants to hear the old hymns that praise our God.
He wants to hear those about the blood of the Lamb that has washed away his sins through faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
Now he wants to hear a message about Christ and his suffering.
How he suffered and died on the cross, that we might have eternal life. There's a hymn, Brother Ben, about telling me the old story. I don't remember what the title of it is. Tell it over and over and over again.
This is the heart of the regenerated child of God.
Never gets tired of hearing what Jesus did for him on the cross of Calvary. He stands. He knows that his Savior stands at the right hand of the Father,
making intercessions for him, saying, Father, forgive them,
for I died for those sins.
He wants to hear that old story over and over,
how Christ died for us.
He no longer desires that his flesh is pleased
in worship service. No longer does he desire to compromise with the world. But now he glories in the Spirit because Christ is in him.
And will keep him
through time and eternity. He is happy in regeneration and not in reform. Reform only pleases the flesh. Regeneration pleases the Spirit.
May God show this to everyone
under the sound of my voice today.
May His Spirit come into your heart.
Make you alive in Christ. That you might know the joy of salvation and eternal fellowship with God. Let us stand. I'm going to ask our song.